Hi, I'm Carol Sliwa, a senior writer with TechTarget Storage Sites. Joining me today is Mark Stamer. Mark is the president and founder of Dragon Slayer Consulting in Beaverton, Oregon. Mark will be speaking with us about the performance of object storage. Mark, how would you characterize the performance of object storage systems today in comparison to 3 to 5 years ago?
Well, it's much improved because the underlying technology is much improved as well, but so are the algorithms. The thing to understand about object storage, as you talk about performance, object storage is a software layer that runs on top of block storage, essentially. Think of it like file storage is a software layer that runs on top of block storage. So you're interfacing with the software. Like all software, the amount of software affects the performance ultimately because it's latency. And object storage adds metadata to everything that you write. Therefore, it takes more time to write and more time to read. And if you do things like erasure codes, then again, it adds more time. But most of the object storage providers have been working hard at making that a faster process.
That leads nicely into my next question, which is, what have the manufacturers done to improve the performance of object storage?
They're taking advantage of some of the technologies that have come out. I mean, most storage today is x86-based, and object storage is definitively tied to x86 type of architectures. And of course, Intel has made the processors faster, more cores, more memory capability, more ability to address more memory as well. So what you end up with is a better ecosystem for object storage, just in general, as the x86 platform has continued to evolve. In addition, they've been able to take advantage of flash storage underneath because it is a server-based storage architecture, because the object storage runs in the server plus embedded storage. Using flash as caching, using flash as tiering, the object storage vendors have been able to really take advantage of that infrastructure to provide much, much faster storage. In fact, to the point where there are storage systems out there today that are block-based that underneath use object to take advantage of some of object's unlimited scalability, distribution, ability to scale on demand without any changes or any disruptions. So that functional ecosystem underneath has really helped improve performance.
Has it helped to improve performance enough to the point where object storage becomes suitable for primary data?
Yes, it can, because candidly, the storage system for most applications will be indistinguishable from file or block storage systems otherwise that they might use. The underlying ecosystem, hardware, media, processing, memory, have all improved to the point where it's going to be very difficult to tell the difference. The biggest difference still comes down to latency, but the latency differences have shrunk significantly.
What types of primary data are we talking about with object storage? Databases or other types of data that the user would access on a frequent basis?
Well, it depends on when you say database. There's OLTP, Online Transaction Processing, or Online Analytical Processing, OLAP. But generally speaking, when you talk about that kind of performance, transaction processing, you're probably not going to use object storage because you want the lowest latency possible because it's an IOPS issue. How many IOs per second can you get to speed up your database? That's a different animal. That's where latency will rear its head. But if you're talking about databases like email, if you're talking about databases such as casual databases or ones that might be used in day-to-day but not necessarily transaction processing, yeah, it'll be fine. The issue then becomes the interface in front of the object storage. Most applications aren't going to use a REST interface, which is the standard interface on most object storage. But today, you're going to find that a lot of them have a block interface, a file interface, or they'll have a gateway that will convert to it. So it's indistinguishable, as I said, for the vast majority of applications.
Does flash used with object storage open the door to the possibility of using it for transaction-based data as well?
It's possible. It depends on the performance that you require. I would always recommend test first before you make the leap. Make sure it's going to work for you.
Speaking of software, are there significant differences between the performance of one vendor's object storage from another vendor's object storage?
There is. It comes down to how well they've architected their software, how well they can take advantage of the underlying ecosystem. Some are going to be significantly faster than others. I'll give you an example. Let's say you're using erasure coding, which today is kind of table stakes in object storage. If you're going to use erasure coding for every size object that you get, you're going to get terrible performance in small objects and great performance in large objects. Not a great idea. So by having the ability to use, let's say, multi-copy mirroring, where you're creating two copies for every original copy you have, or three copies total, for small objects, then you're not going to have the latency overhead of erasure coding. At some point when that data gets old, you may want to convert it to erasure-coded data, but while it's young and highly active and being accessed a lot, and it's small objects to begin with, you may elect not to do that. On the other hand, you may be using a database. So if your software allows you to make that decision that for this data, for this period of time, as long as it's 30 days or younger, it's not going to be erasure-coded, but as it gets older, it will, then you can have better performance than somebody who doesn't do that.
Is there anything a potential end user can do to improve the performance of object storage?
Well, the first thing is always work with the vendor who's supplying it. Unless you're working with open source and there isn't a vendor supplying it. But generally speaking, work with the vendor. They know all the tricks of the trade. They know how to make it the fastest possible for different workloads. The things you can do are add flash SSDs or add flash PCIe or even flash in-memory DIMMs can really speed it up. Some cases, you can move the software completely in memory, so that will speed it up. Other cases, it depends on the interface. Are you connecting over 1 gig or 10 gig? It's a complete infrastructure look. How are you setting this up will affect your performance. Are you using converged Ethernet or are you using standard Ethernet? What's the other traffic? Did you set up a separate Ethernet infrastructure for it, or is this running co-tenant with everything else? So there are a lot of different ways to tune this. Most object storage systems have the ability to be tuned, to be tweaked for specific workloads. So again, you want to work closely with the vendor to make sure it's optimized for your workloads.
A lot of end users are still trying to wrap their arms around what they're going to use object storage for. From a performance standpoint, what kind of advice or recommendations would you offer them as they contemplate the use of object storage?
Well, object storage has been gaining more and more acceptance for a variety of reasons, but one of the key reasons is data durability, data resilience. If you're using object storage with erasure coding or geolocation erasure coding, in other words, multiple sites, multiple geographic locations, and any one site can access the data. But instead of having, let's say, three sites with three copies of the data total, you may have three sites with two-thirds more data. But from any one site, because you can access all the data without going to another site, that's a whole lot less overhead. Instead of 300% storage for 100% of the data, you would have 166% storage for three viable copies of the data. It would seem that way to you. So it's more cost effective. It's more resilient. It will protect you against more failures. So there's a lot of use for object storage for what I call passive data, data that's not accessed very frequently, data that's going to be around for a long time, but not necessarily actively used. That's a huge amount of data. In fact, more than 90% of most people's data is passive. All you have to do is look at the data on your laptop and you'll see that. So if that's going into object storage, that makes a lot of sense. It'll save you money. It'll be more resilient because it'll protect you against more failures than two drives, even more than a whole location failure. You don't have to do DR if it's spread out over multiple locations. There's a lot of positives and a lot of places to use it. You can even use it on active data if it's fast enough for you.
Thanks, Mark. That concludes our podcast on object storage performance. We appreciate your listening.